Welcome everyone. So today we'll just briefly review what we covered last time, like five verses we covered, right, in 7 chapter. Anybody wants to share something? So what did we learn about 7 chapter, especially like, you know, middle 6 chapters and specifically 7 chapter?
Anyone who is worshipping me fully and understand me completely, that is the ultimate truth.
Hearing
is
the main
thrust.
Hearing is the main. Process to know Krishna, right? To know Krishna in full. Krishna says bhakti, only one who is in bhakti can understand me, right? Bhakti yoga, bhaktiya mama vijanati. And to what are the different processes of bhakti?
The nine
processes, right? Shravanam, kirtanam. So among that, most important is hearing. So that's what Prabhupada is emphasizing in the part 4. Some more points. First verse. Any significant
taking shelter of authorized representative.
Yeah, because Krishna says here madashraya. So either taking shelter of Krishna or Krishna's bona fide representative. Okay. And what does it mean, Krishna, knowing Krishna in full? He says you can know me in full.
Both material and spiritual.
Yeah, both material and spiritual. That's one thing. Other thing is?
Knowing it first time and
We discussed this. Can anybody from the notes or something? In full means what? What are the three partial understandings of Krishna? Yeah. So knowing Krishna in full means knowing Bhagavan aspect of Krishna. No, basically Krishna in full-fledged form. Right? Okay. So mind attached to Krishna, what are some of the things we discuss? How to get our mind attached to Krishna? We discuss some practical things.
Association.
Hearing. Then hearing about devotees who are advanced and who have a great attachment for Krishna. Then we talked about prayers, right? Yeah.
Worship,
temple and association. Yeah. So some of the things we discussed. And okay, so we'll go to the next verse. Text number 2. So what is Krishna revealing to Arjuna now? Full knowledge, so both material and spiritual, as you mentioned, he is going to reveal. So what is what is in text number 3, Krishna emphasizes, like, not everybody can understand this knowledge, right? So who is that person? What does he say in text number 3? What's the punch?
Who is for perfection, they can.
Among them, among them, there are very few who can actually achieve perfection. Among them, there are very few who...
who can take up Krishna consciousness.
Last one, last phrase.
Who fully knows Krishna.
So the people who know Krishna are very rare. That's what... basically, only pure devotees know Krishna. So... okay. So then... text number 4, Krishna talks about his material energy. The whole material world summarized in one verse. So he says there are at least, you know, 8 elements, right? What are the elements?
Earth, water,
air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence and falsehood. So these are all constitute Krishna's separated, you know, it's called separated energies, material energies. And then text number 5, Krishna talks about
another superior
Which are?
Yes,
he talks about whom?
Living.
Like us. He's talking about us. Okay. So who are we?
Souls.
We are souls. And we are of his which nature?
Spiritual
nature. Right? Which is superior to the material energy which we discussed earlier. But still what happens? What's the contradiction?
Gets influenced by the
material energy. Because we are so tiny, we get influenced by the material energy and we come overcome by it. Right? Later Krishna says, you know, how we can get out of this influence by surrendering unto him. Okay, so here very nicely Krishna says, he knows us, right? Our intention. Says this superior energy of mine comprises of the living entities, and what are they doing? They are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So they have come for that, and he is telling, you know, that's what their purpose is. Okay. So that's all we covered, right? Text number 5. So we'll cover from text number 6 today.
Etad yonini bhutani sarvani ti upadhaya aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayastata.
All created beings have their source in these two natures. What are the two natures?
Material
or spiritual? Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So Krishna here is saying whatever exists, material and spiritual, he is the origin. He creates it and he destroys it also. So he is telling he is the creator and destroyer. In the next verse he says that he is also the maintainer. So all the three aspects are covered. So anything, for anything to exist, there is a creation, there is maintenance period and there is destruction. So Krishna is saying he is all of that. So we'll read few lines from the purport, starting from beginning. Everything that exists.
Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because of that superior energy, spirit soul is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter, which combine to manifest this gigantic universal form, are originally two energies of the Lord, and consequently the Lord is the original cause of everything.
You can pause it. Yeah, so here a lot of fundamental points Krishna Prabhupada is covering. First is clear, everything whatever exists is a product of matter and spirit. That's all, between these two, there is nothing beyond that. And within that again he is saying, matter cannot produce spirit. Right, so spirit is the one which agitates, or it helps the matter to grow. Like, you know, as he is giving example of a body, like the small baby is there, but the body keeps growing because the soul is present. Right, it's not because. So some scientists, they challenge Prabhupada. You know, we know exactly how, what is the constituents of this body. Right, so much percentage of water, earth, and everything is there. Right. So they were challenging, like, no, consciousness can be produced from matter, they were telling. Then Prabhupada said, okay, you know the constituents, so I'm going to give you all the chemicals, right? You know, you produced body then. So that, but they couldn't do it. So that's, you know, that makes it so so clear. So today only I was listening one lecture. So Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj was telling the amazing thing about Krishna's creation. It seems in one lecture, or someone chanting japa, he was looking at the ceiling, and then he saw that, he was somehow thinking that maybe a bird will make a nest there. So then he was seeing the nest, and then he was thinking about how, what an amazing act it is. The nest is built so wonderfully, it serves all the purposes of the bird, and it's so strong also. Usually, you know, I don't know whether anybody tried to break it. It's very difficult to break it. It's so firm, and exact precise use of materials it knows, bird, how to, you know, which materials to pick to make, build the nest. So Maharaj was telling some PhD devotee was asking a question about something, then he was telling, you know, if we have to build that nest, we have to go to some university and do research and maybe learn from a scholar who wrote, was the professor, you know, he wrote the details of how to build a nest, and still we will not end up coming closer to what the natural thing is. And who is giving the intelligence for all the birds to build like that? So Krishna is a super soul within. So that's the amazing thing of this creation. Like, you know, and we think everything is coming out of chemicals. Big bang. Everything is coming out of a bang. How is it possible? No, nothing which is, anything which is properly organized, like if you see a house which is organized or clean or some place, right? Naturally, you have a instinctive feeling that somebody is behind it, right? Otherwise, everything is a chaos, right? By design, it's a chaos. So how then whole material universe, especially, you know, sun, planets, are rotating in such an orbit? It is said that the sun is exactly precise distance from the earth. If it's little bit closer, because of the heat, this earth can get burned. If it's far away, it can become freeze. Earth can become frozen because of the cold. It's a, that is precise, you know, distance from the earth. And it's rotating always in the same orbit, and everybody else is also rotating. Now, how wonderful it is. No? So, sometimes we have to just reflect on, you know, the creation and see how wonderful Krishna is. Then, so that's what Prabhupada is saying. This material body is developed because of the spirit soul. Similarly, this you may not have heard before. So, this whole entire universe also, the way it starts is Mahavishnu lies down in the Karana ocean. These all details are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. I am just summarizing it here. If you cannot follow, it's okay. So, Mahavishnu, Krishna expands himself into three Purusha avatars, three Vishnus. The first one is the Mahavishnu. He lies down in the causal ocean. And when he, and then he glances on the some aspect of the energy which is called Mahat Pradhan actually. It's all the material elements are in undivided fashion in one corner. That's called Pradhan. Okay. So he just glances that Pradhan, and then with that glance, living entities and the time energy gets injected there. And after some time, then he lies down, and then he, of course, he's lying down, and then he glances, and then when he exhales, from the pores of his body emanate golden seeds. These seeds are the seeds of the universes, the seed-like form, like seeds. And he enters, expands himself as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, another Vishnu form, into each of these universes. The moment he enters, it's like a soul entering the body. So once the Vishnu enters, then the universe starts growing, becoming bigger and bigger. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. The universe is also growing because of the soul, which is the gigantic soul of Vishnu being inside. That's the point proper. So I wanted to just tell the context around it. So, and then there is another aspect of Shirodaksha Vishnu later on, which expands, he expands as a Paramatma within all the living entities. That's the three Vishnus. So, because the matter and spirit are emanating from Krishna, as we discussed earlier, so Krishna is the source for everything. So, Prabhupada later on says, we can build a big skyscraper building and say, you know, I have achieved it, I made it. But where are the raw materials coming from? Right? It's all coming from Krishna. So, that's the point. Okay. So, yeah, so I was reflecting on this. So that's why pure devotees have this consciousness or awareness that everything which is there is actually Krishna's energy. So that's the practical application part of it now. When we hear this, that everything is Krishna's energy, what should be our behavior? So that's what we need to reflect and think and act, you know, change our behavior. So we should not see it in a mood of exploitative way, right? As Krishna is saying, you know, we try to exploit the material nature. But because knowing that it's Krishna's energy, how we can again connect it back to Krishna, how we can use it in Krishna's service. So there are a couple of aspects we can think of it. First is, okay, some things which we should not do is, we should not exploit it. Second one is, we should see how we can use it in Krishna's service. Third one is, how to not waste it, right? So these are some of the things, you know, we should be very cautious, conscious when we deal with the material energy, right? Especially, for example, time. Time, we can waste it, right? We can waste it, like, you know, just like that, spend some 1 hour, suddenly we feel like already day is over without doing anything. We can waste it. So it's Krishna's energy. So how we can utilize the time properly in Krishna's service? Every minute can we count and see, you know, are we utilizing it properly in Krishna's service? right? Or we can just neglect it and just keep sleeping or something, whole day goes by. So some of the incidents of Srila Prabhupada which, like, you know, which can be striking in this regard is, I can share, is like one time in Mayapur, where the temple is just being constructed there, the Chandradaya temple. So some of the senior leaders were assembled there, and there was meeting going on with Srila Prabhupada. Then suddenly they were standing, and the only, I think, the lotus building was there, and the rest of the buildings are just coming up, and plan was happening there. So a lot of it is empty field. So Prabhupada was standing and talking with the senior leaders, and suddenly he looked at the open field and he said, "Can't you see?" Then they were all like, they were seeing that direction and they're seeing what's happening. Then they didn't understand what Prabhupada, what is. Then he said, can't you see? He pointed his cane and said, "Can't you see?" Then they thought, oh, maybe Prabhupada is seeing Radha Krishna dancing, we are not able to see, you know, maybe, you know, we are not so qualified, maybe that's what it is. Then again they asked, you know, "Prabhupada, we can't see, you know, what is this?" Then he just brisk walked the place in the middle of the field, and there was a water faucet, it was leaking water, so he just turned it off. And he said, you know, Krishna's energy, we should, you know, devotee should not waste Krishna's energy, he said. And he said, this is Krishna consciousness. So that's a summary of Krishna consciousness, is seeing everything as Krishna's energy and utilizing it in, you know, in a very sane way, you know, without extra wastage. Another incident, I was reading in the Yamuna Mataji's book, she was sharing that, of course she majorly does cooking for Prabhupada. So in that kitchen in Radha Damodar temple, she was cooking for Prabhupada. So Indian matchsticks are very fragile, right? No, so they lit, sometimes immediately they switch off if you are not guarding, or sometimes they break. We usually, we have to use so many sticks until we get the, you know, get it to come to, sometimes before we go to the stove it goes off. So like that, she was, she lit, like, she described what happened to each matchstick, which I don't remember. So four matchsticks she did, and she went, and fifth one she was about to do, Prabhupada just took it. And then he did it, and she was describing how he, you know, the way he held it. So he lit it, and he bent it, and he covered it. No, that's the way we do it, right? And slowly brought to the stove, and then he turned it on. And while doing it, he said, "A devotee," and he said, you know, "doesn't waste anything." No, doesn't waste anything. So that's the lesson on waste she learnt. No, so there were many incidents how Prabhupada also similarly, you know, treated all the living entities as Krishna's part and parcels also. No, that's the thing. Material energy, we think, okay, to some extent it's difficult to not exploit. But the danger is we even exploit the living entities, right? Because of false ego. Especially our family members, we try to exploit them, right? No, use them for our sense gratification instead of using them, no, in Krishna's service. That's the greatest way we are actually exploiting them, because we are using for sense gratification. Yesterday, we started attending our Bhakti Vaibhav classes. Our teacher is visiting us, so he was telling that, no, don't think your children belong to you. Your children belong to Krishna, and they are under your care. So your part is to just direct them, no, just give them devotional service. That's all. You think you belong to you, belong to me means, so I can do whatever I want. Right? So that's what he was telling. Again, that exploitative tendency comes. So that's some of the practical aspects. So we can just continue with the next verse. Matta parataram nanya kinchitasidananjaya mayi sarvam idam krotam sutre manigana iva. So in this verse, Krishna is giving an analogy how to understand that everything is actually coming from him. In the verse he said, earlier verse he said, right, material and spiritual is coming from him, and he is the origin and dissolution. So in this verse he is saying, how do we perceive it from a material, no, just giving a similar analogy to understand it. So he is saying, "O conqueror of wealth, that is Dhananjaya, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread." So beautiful, right? He's saying, first of all, he's saying there is no truth superior to me. That means there's nothing beyond me. So somebody who knows him knows everything. That's why. And other point he's saying is everything rests upon me. That means I am the one who's supporting everything. Okay, we'll come to the other point. You know, what does it mean to support? As pearls are strung on a thread. So the analogy is like how the pearl, the necklace is held because of the thread, but nobody can see the thread, at least unless you, you know, break it and dissect it, right? But the thread is the invisible factor by which it's the whole thing is held up. So similarly, the whole universe is, everything is being held and functioning, everything, because of this Krishna's energy, which usually non-devotees cannot see. Only devotees can get the knowledge to understand that actually Krishna is behind all of this. So another important thing which Srila Prabhupada brings about in this verse is that this verse is talking that Krishna actually, or the Supreme, is actually person, not impersonal. Because Mayavadis, they say, right, Krishna has taken a form of mode of goodness, and after that, after he becomes very, very pure, it's all Brahman, it's all impersonal. So the ultimate thing is impersonal, that's what they say. But Krishna is clearly saying here, Mam. Sutri Maligana, where does he, no, as it, truth is a person, on me, beyond me, Matha, beyond me, he says, right? So he's saying, ki, Mai, unto me, see how con, Dhananjaya, Mai. The third line, Mai Sarvam. So in me, so it's using a person there. That's what his emphasis Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport as well. So we'll read few lines, first few lines.
There is a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse, in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person.
You can pause there. So that's what. In this verse, it's stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person. So we can read the last paragraph. So again, later on, the rest of the purport, Prabhupada quotes different scriptures to emphasize how Krishna is the cause of all causes and he is a person. So he talks from Brahma Samhita. Yes,
question here. So here Prabhupada says in this verse, in particular, the stress of the absolute truth is a person. Which part of the verse is actually
stressed? That's what I was telling. My.
Okay.
Krishna says on me, right?
Okay.
Krishna is a person.
Okay.
Krishna is a person and he's saying in me.
Okay.
So Mayavadis interpret it as he's saying me means not me as a person but some unborn within him. That's, you know, indirect contrived thing they bring to get to understand. But it's very clear, somebody says in me, it's literally the person me, right? Rather than some invisible thing within him. So it's very clear that he's saying that absolute truth is person, which is Krishna. But it's so, sometimes it's so funny actually, why we should go so much to establish that, you know, Supreme Truth is a person. It feels so wasted,
like,
actually.
It is like Prime Minister, we have to prove that he is a Prime Minister.
Yeah, one thing is, okay, proving that Krishna is God, that's one thing, different matter. Proving that God is a person, that I feel it should be so, I don't know, it should be so easy to accept. But I think lot of philosophies, everything are behind that, you know, proving that God is in person. And, you know, that's actually Sukruti. If somebody can easily accept it, that Krishna, God is a person, they have gone long journey in their spiritual path, actually. It's much easier. But of course, you know, we also have that contamination. It's not that, you know, we accept it fully. Because the way we can see it in our practices is, do we really, you know, accept Krishna's name as spiritual, right? If we accept Krishna as supreme spiritual person and all his energies are identical and equally potent, then do we accept Krishna's name as potent? Do we give that much respect and that much listening to his name when we chant? Like, you know, or do we have that much faith when we offer bhoga to Krishna? Do we have faith that Krishna is really accepting it, is eating it, is a person? Do we have that faith? Or we do it mechanically and do it like, oh, anyway, we have to do it like that or... No, so this shows where our faith is, like how much, no, I'm speaking also to myself, like, no, we may theoretically accept it, but, you know, to speak in completely, to, you know, realize it is, you know, it's a journey. Yeah, so we'll go to the last paragraph, from these verses.
From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all pervading by His multi energies, both material and spiritual.
So we can perceive Krishna through His material energies as well. So that's what next few verses, 8 to 12, next section, Krishna is going to tell how He is the active element in all the things in the matter and how we can perceive Him through in matter. 8 to 12, He is telling about how He is an active principle in the material elements we perceive. So that way when we see this material elements, we should immediately, we could remember Krishna. Very, very sweet section. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhashmi shashi suraya pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke paurusham nushu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, and the sound in ether and ability in man. So the essential element of water is taste, right? That's what sometimes, you know, especially when we are very thirsty, when we drink water, we feel, wow, this is so wonderful. We can feel the taste, right? So sweet. So Krishna is saying that element which gives that, you know, essence of water is Krishna. So once the Prabhupada said, actually, you know, if a drunkard is very addicted to drinking, he drinks that and he says, wow, this is so wonderful, this is Krishna, then he is starting to make advancement, he said. Of course, it doesn't mean, you know, we have to drink, drink something to, you know, perceive Krishna. But he's saying, you know, that's how he can start beginning to make progress, because he's associating now Krishna's energy and he's remembering Krishna. Then, light of the sun and the moon. So sun and the moon, so this material universe, it doesn't have any light. It's completely dark. Beyond universe, it's all Brahmajyoti, fully illuminated. So the sun, yesterday only I learned this. So sun is a doorway, or rather it's a small opening by which the Brahmajyoti is entering into the universe. The sun is the one which enables this Brahmajyoti to enter the universe and illuminate the universe. So that's why Krishna is also sun and moon. So of course sun is not producing the light on its own. It's actually allowing the Brahmajyoti to enter. That's what it is. So sun and moon is actually reflecting light from the sun. And all the stars also, to that extent. So Krishna is that light element. You know, whatever is giving light in this universe, that is Krishna. Of course, you know, it doesn't mean, see, okay, we have to understand it in a very nice, proper perspective. It doesn't mean it's this. When Krishna says it is Krishna, means what? When Krishna says it is taste of water, means what?
It's the essence.
Basically, it's the Krishna's energy. That's what he's saying. It doesn't mean Krishna disappeared from Goloka and he doesn't have any other work but just to disintegrate himself in water. You got it, right? Krishna is there in a 200-threefold bended form in Goloka. He's having unlimited pastimes with all the cowherd boys and gopis there. But his energy is expanding everywhere, and we can perceive him through his energies in this way. That's what it is. So this is called Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Inconceivable oneness and difference. Everything is one with Krishna, at the same time it's different. So then syllable Om. Om is also it's impersonal name for God, basically. It's called, you know, impersonal calling for the God. It's as if it's saying, oh my Lord, that's what it is, Om. But Hare Krishna is the personal, Radha Krishna. Again, he's saying, I'm sound in the ether and ability in man. So whatever ability we have, right, sometimes, many times, we get so puffed up. Oh, I accomplished it. Now I got this done, or I know I will do it. But actually that ability is Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So whenever sometimes we get very impressed about certain people, right? Like whatever, if they have accomplished something, whichever based on our conceptions, which is better. Sometimes we get inspired or appreciate people who are materially so powerful, you know, money-wise, or sometimes who are knowledgeable, we get inspired. Sometimes who are very beautiful, we get inspired. But all these things are actually Krishna's Krishna's energies, and they're just reflections from Krishna, right? They're just reflecting some potency of Krishna, because Krishna is all beautiful, all renounced and all wealthy and all strong, right? all six opulences he has in full, and some tiny living entities are just reflecting some part of it, and with that we get attracted. Imagine how much, if we can realize Krishna fully, how much we get attracted, right? So people, they give up their lives for family movie stars, right? Because they're beautiful, and once they are out of the term, that's all, nobody cares about them anymore. No, it's all this. But the thing is, we forget. This I heard in one class, and it stuck me. It stayed with me. No, what we are attracted about these people is actually Krishna. We are looking for Krishna in them. We just run behind all these people, run behind all these elements, instruments, but actually we are looking for Krishna. Then that aspect of Krishna is attracting to us. So, even in my journey, initially when I started Krishna consciousness, I was also in Bhakti, it's called Bhakti Viksha at that time, discussions, right? So I was very much attracted to facilitator, coordinator and teacher. It was Sundaranand Prabhu. They left here. They left to San Jose. His name was Sundar Prabhu earlier. And later, after initiation, he got Sundaranand Prabhu, even more happiness. And the wonderful thing about him was he had a very, very beautiful smile. The way he speaks, it's very charming actually. First, from the beginning, I got very mesmerized. Many people get mesmerized by, the smile, and especially his knowledge and his command of philosophy and verses. Immediately, I got attracted. I felt, oh, I want to one day, learn philosophy like this, so I can speak verses, I can do like this. So that knowledge, that's Krishna. We get attracted to Krishna like that. So we'll read few lines in the purport from the beginning.
This verse explains how the Lord is all pervasive by His diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by His different energies, and in this way He is realized impersonally. As the demigod in the sun is a person and is perceived by His all pervading energy, the sunshine, so the Lord, although in His eternal abode, is perceived by His all pervading diffusive energies. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink sea water because the pure taste of water is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends on the purity of the taste. And this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord.
We can pause it. So that's what he's saying, that because the taste of water is pure, it's very attractive, that is Krishna. An analogy, Prabhupada is saying, very nice analogy, right? Just by experiencing sunshine doesn't mean we know sun already, sun god, and what happens in the sun planet. So sun planet, sun god is there, and it's doing its own, sun is doing its own activities of rotating, all those things. And it's at the same time we can feel the sun through its sunshine. So similarly we can feel Krishna through His diffusive energies. At the same time Krishna is in Goloka, He is doing His own pastimes and everything. So there is no confusion. Okay, so everybody understands this concept, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So today when we drink water, we remember Krishna.
This is just a way to explain, right? Because the water element itself is a Krishna energy.
Yeah, water element is also Krishna, and within that he's saying, I'm the essence of that.
Like some philosophical way to explain the same thing, but in nicer way. Because the taste is also Krishna, water is also Krishna, everything is Krishna energy.
And later on, actually, this thing comes up in many later chapters also, especially 11th universal form chapter also. Krishna talks about many different elements, and he says, among Adityas, I'm Vishnu, I'm among snakes, I'm Vasuki. So many things. So basically, in any species, whoever is predominant, who is the topmost person, he says, I am that. He says, among men, I'm king. King is the topmost person, right? Who respects and who has all the commands. So he's saying, I am that. So I am that potency. I am that potency in him. So when we see the king, we respect him as representative of God. So we'll continue next verse, text number 9. Punyo gandha prithivi amcha tejas shasmiri bhavashau jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapas shasmi tapasvishu. I am the original fragrance of the earth. and I am the heat in air, in fire. I am the life of all that lives and I am the penance of all ascetics. So again, same thing, you know, earth, smell, especially when it rains, the smell is so wonderful, right? So he's saying that original fragrance is me. Remember we talked about the, when we talked about five elements, we also talked about sense objects associated with that elements. So for water, it's taste, right? Sense object which came with water.
Taste.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what Krishna is saying, it's him. And similarly for earth, it was smell. Yeah. So that's what he's saying, it's smell. So for fire, it's a form, but he's saying I'm heat in fire. And he says I'm life of all that lives. So Prabhupada says in the purport, that means like some people have longer duration, some people have small duration, it's all because of Krishna. So even if somebody has lot of money and let's say he gets cancer or whatever, he wants to cure himself, unless it's sanctioned by Krishna, he cannot do anything. So as Navya Mataji was telling last time, right? Not even a blade of grass moves without God's action. So that's the thing. I'm in heat and fire, and of all ascetics and penances. So we'll read few lines, first few lines. Punya means?
Punya means that which is not decomposed. Punya is original. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance. As the flavor and fragrance in a flower or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor, which permeates everything is Krishna.
Yeah. So the original flavor of everything is Krishna. So whenever we see something original, that is actually Krishna. So there is a very, very nice incident of Srila Prabhupada illustrating this point, you know, how we could see that. So same, as I mentioned earlier, once it happened that Indradyumna Maharaj happened to fly with Srila Prabhupada. So in that journey, incident in that is that, so finally, you know, they were three people only, Indradyumna Maharaj, Prabhupada and some other Bhagwan Das, I think. Yeah, three of them, Bhagwan Das was the secretary and somehow Maharaj happened to be there. So they were going and that incident happened, right, at the check-in, that suitcase, then opening, all this happened. So then they started walking inside and Prabhupada explained that everybody's influenced by three modes, you know. So anyway, they went, they sat. So Maharaj was got a seat next to Srila Prabhupada. So there was a very nice incident about prasadam also, oranges, that's another incident. But then, okay, after prasadam got over, then everybody was watching TV. So then Maharaj, you know, he wanted to impress on Prabhupada. Initially, you know, we always want to now get some attention or get some, pat on the back, that, you know, from spiritual master. So he opened Bhagavad Gita and started, Dehi nos minyata, Dehi, loudly started reciting. Then he was seeing what Prabhupada is doing. He switched on the TV and he started laughing, Prabhupada, like everybody else. Then he was saying, oh, what is this? Okay, then he said again another verse. Like that few more verses he started reading, saying, you know, I don't want to watch TV. I'm so focused on Krishna consciousness, I read. But then he's seeing Prabhupada is laughing more and more watching TV. And everybody is laughing. What is this? He thought, hey, you know, Prabhupada is watching, I should also watch. So he closed and he started watching TV. Then he was puzzled. What is this? We are not supposed to watch TV. What is happening? So he was very curious. He knew that whatever answer he is going to get is going to only increase his faith. But he wanted to ask, you know, clarify this. So slowly he didn't want to ask Prabhupada directly. So then he called the servant, Bhagwan Das, and he said, you know, I'm like curious, you know, we are not supposed to watch TV, but Prabhupada is watching and laughing. I didn't understand. Can you, ask clarification? Then he went and he asked and he came smiling and he mentioned to Maharaj that, Prabhupada said that what they were watching is Charlie Chaplin's comedy show. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said Charlie Chaplin's comedy is original. I'm seeing Krishna in him. What are you seeing? Because everybody was watching, right? Maharaj was also watching. He said, Charles Chaplin comedy is original. So, it's like Krishna's humor. So, I'm seeing Krishna in him. What are you seeing? So, when we see, do we see Krishna or do we see for fun and enjoyment and gratification? So, that's the difference, you know. So, it's a very nice incident where Prabhupada was saying, like, he got the original thing is Krishna. So, he has that consciousness. So unless we have the consciousness, we should not watch. So that's the thing. So we'll continue to the next verse, text number 10.
बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धिपाता सनातनम् बुद्धि बुद्धिमताम् अश्मि तेजस् तेजस्विनामहम्.
ओ सन् ऑफ पृथा, नो दट् ऐम् द ओरिजिनल् सीड् आफ् आल् एक्सिस्टेन्सेस्, द इन्टेलिजेन्स् आफ् द इन्टेलिजेन्ट् एण्ड् द प्रोसेस् आफ् आल् पवर्फुल् मेन्. अगेन् इस् सेयिङ्ग् of all existences, like, you know, all different forms, he is the original seed, because Krishna is the seed giving father. Aham Bija Pradapita, he says in another verse. And he is the intelligence of the intelligent. So somebody who is smart, IITN or so many things, right? Whose intelligence? Krishna is giving that intelligence. And he is the prowess of all powerful men. So all these weightlifters or wrestlers, all these people, the strength is coming from Krishna. So we'll read like few lines, three lines down. Every entity is contained.
Every entity is contained within the scope of 84 lakh species of life. Some of them are moving and some of them are inert. In all cases, however, the seed of their life is Krishna.
Yeah, so that's what Prabhupada is saying. In all these different species, the seed is Krishna. So next, further down,
Therefore, originally, Krishna is the source of everything. He is the root. As the root of a tree remains the whole tree.
Maintains the whole tree.
Krishna, being the original root of all things, maintains everything in this material manifestation. This is also confirmed in the Vedic literature.
Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunanam Yo Vidadati Kaman.
He is the prime eternal among all eternals. He is the supreme living entity of all living entities, and he alone is maintaining all life. One cannot do anything without intelligence, and Krishna also says that he is the root of all intelligence. Unless a person is intelligent, he cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna.
So again, no, Prabhupada is saying, as root of the tree maintains the whole tree. So similarly, Krishna is the original root of all things. He maintains everything. This verse we keep repeating all the time, Nityo Nityanam. So all are living entities, all are eternal, right? We are also Sachidananda. But among them, there is one supreme eternal. It's not like Krishna is like us. Nityo Nityanam. So among all eternals, there is supreme eternal. Among all conscious beings, there is supreme conscious being. Chetanas Chetananam. That is Krishna. And he is the one who is maintaining everything. So he is different from us. And he is the root of all intelligence. So that's what Prabhupada is nicely concluding. Unless a person is intelligent, he cannot understand the supreme personality of God at Krishna. So first of all, Prabhupada says, devotees are most intelligent. Whoever takes devotional service, they are, you know, topmost intelligent people among the all living entities. Because they are coming to the right thing, you know, instead of foolishly wasting life after life, beating around the bush or, you know, chewed, all those things. They are trying to make a solution to their material problems. So that's why devotees are most intelligent. And among that, eventually if we come to the understanding of Krishna in full, then Prabhupada is saying they are the most intelligent. And that person is most intelligent. So how a person gets to understand Krishna?
Hearing about him,
everything. So who gives the knowledge to him? Krishna, right? From within? Which verse is that? Krishna says, I am from within, gives the knowledge by which the devotee can come to me. 10th chapter? 10.10, right? Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam pritipur. Swami Prabhu would know some verses. Satatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. Dadami buddhi yogam. I give the intelligence by which he can come to me. So Krishna will give that intelligence by which... So Krishna will make us intelligent. So this intelligence is not about scholarship or memorizing verses or... You know, whatever materially IQ we learn, this is not at all that. Somebody may be so sincere and so devoted, and maybe they may not even know a single verse, but he can have full import of Vedic knowledge, completely, fully realized within him. So it's not about so-called material estimations we have. Like, you know, somebody who can talk, give class, or somebody who can quote verses, they are the one who are intelligent, other people are dumb. Like, I had practical experiences. So initially... when we came, right? Somehow I was naturally attracted to scriptures and I came through Bhagavad Gita more than service. Like, you know, initially I came like that. So naturally, somehow I had lot of, I was investing more in this because I had that liking and I, somehow I felt the natural, more intensity towards classes and philosophy and things like that. So gradually we came like that, and then Madhava, our husband, Prabhu also, he came on his own, and mostly because he first entered temple and he liked the environment, everything, he started doing service. So he was more inclined to service, and he was more inclined to service like that. Now, of course, he was also part of the group, but mostly he is like, you know, back and just listening, understanding a little bit, but he will not be in the front, like, you know, quoting verses, asking questions and things like that. You know, I'll be in the front, he will not be there. That's very good, nice of him. So gradually the things happened that, you know, the devotees selected that, you know, that we could get married together. So then like that, somehow we had arranged. And so initially when we were about to get married and all, so they said, you know, you spend some time getting to know each other. So I was very neophyte, very new, right? So I had this conception that, you know, devotees means they should give classes. That's what I felt an ideal person should be. Like, I didn't have any broader understanding of that. So then I knew him, right? I observed him. He always stays in the back. He keeps washing vessels and all those things. So I don't know, you know, whether he's intelligent enough to take care of me. So that's, you know, he can understand my consciousness. Very, very materialistic. So I wanted to figure it out. So we were discussing all those things. And then some topics came when we were discussing about Shastra. What was revealed to me is that actually he has a very, very better understanding than very concise, precise understanding about Shastras. I felt equal to what I understood. It was, what to say, you know, there was no conflict. They say absolute truth is revealed equally, right? Two people speak, like, let's say, you know, we are speaking and tomorrow they hear from Balaram Lila Prabhu. The same concepts keep repeating. It's not like we are not inventing on our own, right? So that's the thing. So the understanding was same. Then I felt how he got this understanding. So, because of the sincerity, Krishna is revealing from within, the same understanding. It's not like we sit in the class and figure it out ourselves, right? Krishna has to give. So, that's the realization I had. Like, you know, this is the typical misconception we may have, we may hold on for a long time. This may lead to offenses also. Like, you know, we keep judging people and things like, because of the external achievements they may have, especially, you know. But Krishna is Rasa Grahi, Bhava Grahi, he sees the essence, he sees the devotion, he sees the sincerity. And to that Krishna reciprocates. And he gives that knowledge by which the devotee can come to him. Okay, so other thing, when what I was telling about, you know, when we get attracted about certain things, we think it's Krishna, right? We are actually getting attracted to Krishna. Like when we talk about somebody's scholarship or somebody's wealth and things like that. But among devotee circles, this also is another point which you can note with respect to application, is that when we find envious towards some devotee, you know, when we figure out that we are envious towards a devotee, that's also actually we are becoming envious of Krishna, because what we are envious of that person is actually potency of Krishna. We cannot tolerate this person being successful. We cannot tolerate this person being, you know, giving classes. We cannot tolerate this person being glorified by others, because but that potency is actually Krishna's. Krishna is saying, right? Because nobody is standing on their own. It's all Krishna's power. So why we are not able to tolerate that power in that person? That means we are actually envious of Krishna. We don't like Krishna to give him that position, give her that position. So we are envious of Krishna and we are envious of living devotees. So whenever we perceive envy towards devotees, we can see we have long way to go with respect to figuring out, becoming non-envious with respect to Krishna. So actually in this regard, Deenatarini Mataji was sharing with respect to Yamuna. Somebody asked one day, Yamuna Mataji, what is one of her unique characteristics you want to share about her? Then she shared, actually unique characteristic about her is she is always non-envious. From the beginning I noticed, she never was envious. She didn't know what it means to be envious. So whenever somebody used to come and talk to her differently, or you know, sometimes we can sense, right, when somebody is envious how they behave with us. put her down or something, they talk like that, she used to tell her, why this person is talking like this, what is there, what they want to tell. She used to figure out like this. And she used to tell, you know, because they are envious of you. Envious? How could they be envious of me? So she was telling, it's very nice conclusion, because she didn't have envy at all, she didn't know what it means to be envious. See, this is the point we hear, right? When we see somebody fault in somebody else, that's because we are honeycombed ourselves with the fault. That's why we know the aspects of how that fault manifests. Unless we are proud, how can we see others as... Unless we know what it means to be a proud person, we cannot judge other person to be proud, right? So we are seeing somebody has to be proud means that means we ourselves are so proud. So, you know, because she's so non-envious, she couldn't even think that somebody could be envious of her. So that's a very, very touching, thing I felt. It really moved me. It's like, you know, that extent. So nice. So...
It's like a kid's mother. Small kid don't know that what is jealousy or something. So we cannot teach them what is jealousy.
Yeah, correct.
They are pure, they don't know.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text number 11. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarchitam dharma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi bhartarshabha. And the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. That means this is the strength of strength in the mode of goodness, which is of kshatriyas. So strength can also be in passion and desire, right? Like strong persons. But this strength, which is devoid of passion and desire, is in the mode of goodness, which is of kshatriyas, rulers, no, rajarshis. And sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. So Krishna is saying, Kamosmi. It's a very nice point. Krishna is saying, I am the sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So Prabhupada says in the purport, we can read the small purport.
The strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak, not for personal aggression. Similarly, sex life according to religious principles, dharma, should be for the propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring
Krishna. So that's the, as we discussed earlier, right, how everything should be used in Krishna service. So similarly, you know, Grihasthas, the role of Grihasthas is to actually bring about nice devotee children who can propagate this Krishna consciousness movement. And Indrajima Maharaj was sharing his lecture that the world is burdened because of Varna Sankara. You know, Arjuna, remember, he was telling about Varna Sankara, where basically children born out of, you know, from different fathers, like, you know, very burdened to the society, because they are going to spoil the things. They are going to just going to do sinful activities, right? They cannot do anything good. So the world is burdened. So that's why the duty of Grihasthas to, you know, purify themselves and to be in a pure consciousness, such a way that they can attract the pure soul and give birth to the pure soul and help the burden of the society. So that, you know, as more Vaishnavas are there in the society, more there will be proper balance. They can, you know, set the things in, you know, at least, you know, have some amount of sanity in the world. So that's the duty of Grihasthas, is to do that sacrifice, to bring forth devotee children and also to raise them Krishna consciousness. And to that extent, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that actually if every child is, whoever I give birth becomes a Vaishnava, I don't mind, he is actually Naishtika Brahmachari. Naishtika Brahmachari means he never had sex intercourse. So he says, if every devotee, every child who is born becomes a pure devotee, I wouldn't mind having sex thousands of times. Because it's a service to Lord now. It's no more sense gratification, right? I'm going to go through all the effort of bearing a child, giving rice and bringing it up, everything, all to give it back to Krishna. So it's devotional service. Where is sense gratification? No, of course, we can do it as sense gratification, but it's a selfless service. So much effort, whenever I feel, you know, it's difficult, or rather when it's getting difficult for me to take care, I always appreciate. Mother's role is not easy. Mm-hmm. I always feel mothers are wonderful. I wish I could have appreciated my mother better. I always feel, you know, it's especially mother, I feel. I don't know, my Prabhu should talk about father, but it's, you know, it's daunting. It's, there is no escape also, you know, even if I can close my eyes and run out sometimes, somehow child looks for mother. Then what can you do? You cannot run away, right? Initially, you know, some personal thing. So, initially, we have two children, right? Maharati and Narasimha. So, Maharati always used to stay with me. Narasimha used to stay with his dad all the time, you know, sleeping also. And if he is there, he will not even come to me like the nice. If he is not there, okay, I am the only one, so he stays with me. So, this whole week, everybody got sick. First, Narasimha got, now Maharati, after that, me and Prabhu is getting. Over. Cycle is over now, we are ready, getting back to normal. So, when he got sick, all he wanted is mama, that's all. He doesn't want to sleep with his dad. He points his hand, I want to go there and sleep with her. Like that. So, at least for a long time, I was contemplating how I can take care of both kids so Prabhu can get some rest. And it didn't, somehow, this is Krishna's arrangement that, you know, forced to take up that task and, you know, survive through it. And it was tough, you know, both were, after that, you know, one time, both were sick. Both keep getting up for coughing and I'm the one, and I was sick. I cannot, usually cold, you have to just take some rest to get better. So then after one night, actually, I was just getting more sicker, but somehow I felt I'll just take care of them. So I think for four or five hours, I didn't sleep at all. I was just awake, just tapping them, make sure they're sleeping. They slept nicely. I felt so satisfied. I didn't sleep, but I felt better that they're happy. Then I felt, oh, this is what it means to selfless service. This is what the satisfaction we get when we do selfless service. I felt one pinch. I felt, oh, when we do selfless service, this is satisfaction we get. Like, unless we experience it, because we are so habituated to be selfish, it's very difficult for us to make that selfless attempt unless we are forced, you know, by mercy of spiritual master and guru. I'm being forced to cultivate that habits, otherwise I don't have that. I'm very selfish. No, but somehow in devotional service we should cultivate this selflessness. We can do it by sharing whatever we have with others. That's the practical way we can do. You know, Prabhupada also shared this in many instructions. Many times, Yamuna Mataji, he said, I taught you all this, you should teach to others. Otherwise, you will become envious, he told. Whatever I taught, if you don't teach others, he said, you will become envious. Because we are not sharing Krishna with others. This way, I didn't realize actually, I thought when I, let's say, you know, initially my motivation for giving classes is like, oh, I know something, I want to teach. It was very selfish. You know, puffed up notation. But gradually, you know, I'm getting purified by all your mercy. That I'm realizing actually, it's unless I do this, from that instruction Prabhupada is giving, unless I do this, my spiritual life can go in vain. I can just keep sitting in my home and getting knowledge myself and keep it to myself and become envious of others and gone case, right? So this is the one which is going to save me. It's not like I'm doing for others. It's actually going to benefit me. More than what to speak of, you know, glorifying Krishna is one of the aspects of devotional service, right? This philosophy is so profound, so wonderful, so amazing actually, you know. Every aspect if you take of it, it's so complete. Whatever Prabhupada has given us. Wow. Okay, so we'll go to the last verse over. Yechaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasas jaye Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are, on the contrary, are within me. So now Krishna is talking about three modes of material nature. So this material energy consists of these three modes. This is as if like three colors, right? They combine to become more colors. So in Bhagavatam it's explained the three modes again combine to become within these three gradations will be there. Goodness within goodness, 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 goodness with passion, goodness with ignorance, like that. But again he says, still I am independent. So that means these modes cannot influence him. But actually they are under his control. Later on Krishna says, Daivyesha Gunamayi, this divine energy is acting under my control. I wanted to read this small purport. can read that.
All material activities in the world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature. Although these material modes of nature are emanations from the Supreme Lord, Krishna, He is not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subjected to that law. Similarly, all the modes of the material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna. But Krishna is not subjected to material nature. Therefore, he is Nirguna, which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from him, do not affect him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, so here Prabhupada is clarifying again, these modes are emanating from Krishna, but they cannot affect him. The analogy Krishna Prabhupada gives is, what is the analogy Prabhupada gives? State laws are created by the king, but king is not affected by the laws. Another analogy is also like how a cloud is covered. The origin of the cloud is due to the sun, right? Because sun evaporates the water and that's how cloud is formed. And for a living entity, when he sees the sun, the cloud may cover the sun. But it doesn't mean sun is covered by the cloud. Cloud is blocking our vision to the sun, right? But doesn't mean cloud has a capacity to block the sun, right? So because the cloud is also, cloud is actually emanated from sun itself. So something which is born out of me doesn't have the power to overcome me. But that doesn't happen to us, right? You know, our children, that's what yesterday our teacher was telling. No, we think, oh, I created my children, so they will always be subservient and to me. It's not like that. Prabhuji was telling, the children will grow up and one day they will kick you out of the home. He's telling, I don't care of you, just get lost, right? But doesn't happen with Krishna. Krishna, whatever he created, will be subservient, subordinate, because he is the Supreme Lord. So that's the point. Okay, so we can stop there. That ends this section about how Krishna is the essence, active principle about all the things which we perceive in this material energy. So we can stop there. I just wanted to say a few things before I can open up for questions. Otherwise, we'll get kicked out again. So one thing is, I wanted to say two things. Okay, I'll remember one thing now. One thing is, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, our teacher is in here. So we are doing Bhakti Vaibhav classes. Somehow I was praying, somehow I could attend, and somehow we are thinking we could do it, especially Navya Mataji offered help with respect to feeding kids, because its class is from 7 to 9. So then Prabhu requested, actually, because he's staying only for 1 month. Usually he stays longer and he used to give Fridays off so we can do our classes. He said he requested all of us to cancel our classes so that we can all attend his classes and get the nourishment we needed for our course, Bhakti Vaibhav. So that's why, because we announced this class, we had it. There are 3 more weeks. So, but what we thought is, because we don't want all of you to lose focus, we have some action items for you. One is next class. So 23rd, today is 16th, right? Yes. 16th. So 23rd, all of you, I think I may not have reiterated many times, but we all are supposed to write homeworks and homework assignments. No, I think Sahu Prabhu is the only one who has been submitting all through, all chapters. There is short answers and there are fill in the blank questions. All of them are, questions are uploaded to the website. 7th chapter I have to put yet. So all of them are there. So if you haven't done it yet, you can take the 23rd week, that Friday. Don't think that, you know, Friday is off now, you can fill up with shopping and other things. So you can focus on at least doing some part of that assignment. So you can just keep the momentum.
So I'm supposed to do that?
Everybody is supposed to do. For, you know, Bhakti Gita, Bhakti, that diploma, you're supposed to. That's why I mentioned it's my mistake, I didn't reiterate often. So you can do that, start doing that.
So when you say do it, is it from the first chapter onwards?
Yeah, you should do from the beginning. But now you can do for maybe 6-7 chapters if you want.
Okay.
Because you are writing summary also, it will help you for exam also. You can start from this and go backward. Then, so 23rd week, you can focus on that. 30th day, we are requesting maybe Harilas Prabhu can give a class on summary of 7 chapter. We'll see how it goes. We don't know whether he's in town, one class or the other. And 6th or 30th, somebody, many of you didn't take all the exams. At least I know everybody except Sahu Prabhu, I think you took all the exams, right? Fourth, yeah. So all of you have one exam or the other pending, so you can plan which exam you want to write and prepare for it, and you can come and write that exam. We have all the papers in stock. We can take print out also promptly. So you need not tell us which exam, but we are inviting our home for, of course, prasadam. Hopefully, I think we may not be able to serve. So after exam, you can write, go to temple or eat prasadam. So you can, okay, so you can prepare for one exam on 6th. Hopefully, 4th chapter we can close down now. Otherwise, we already attempted 2 times to write this exam. So 6th, you can write that exam, one exam, at least one. Prabhu, Amit Prabhu, I am requesting you and Mataji to write at least one exam.
Mataji traveling to India.
When?
In this weekend.
This weekend?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
I will be back on 4th of February.
4th. So in the vacation, you can study exam, right?
It's my sister's marriage.
Oh.
On January 20th.
So it will be hectic. Yeah. Okay.
Somehow or other, yeah.
That's why I was thinking, at least this time you can do it.
Yes. I'm also waiting that I will do the exam every time.
Okay. I'm also waiting. Okay. So then 13th, I think that's the last day. Prabhu will leave either 13th or 14th. So we can still have class, our regular class on 13th. So this one, you know, it's clear, right? You want to send any, you want an email, all this? No need, right? So on 6th, especially you note down this date. 6th, you can write one exam. You can come to our home, but prasadam will be in temple. So whoever has pending, of course, whoever wants to write in weekend anytime, you can come. But I'm telling you can, so that you don't waste that Friday. So you can, you know, plan to write an exam and use it wisely. Okay, so that's what I had. So any questions or comments?
Somebody got everything. I think you should send email because I forgot what.
Okay.
You
said, what anybody? I think better to send email. Somebody
yeah.
Who's not attending, you can write email, Prabhu.
Yeah.
You this post it, you can take if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any questions or comments?
We planned some kind of drama.
Yeah, I'm also getting very busy, right? So I think this month, Prabhu, this also will be hectic. So we'll see after that how it goes. Yeah.
Which Prabhu is classing?
This Radha Krishna Prabhu, our teacher who taught us Bhakti Bhagavad Gita, now is teaching us Bhagavatam. So we are Bhakti Gita is 1 degree, right? Bhakti Vaibhav is exam on 6 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So every year he comes, we write exam on one canto. So we did first canto, this time we are going to write second canto exam.
One canto is equal to one Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. It's very
we write only one chapter for exam, we write one book for exam.
One book, yeah. So he comes 1 month and then 1 month he completes the whole canto. Studying we complete because it's very intense. Every day class and weekend full day almost class. Oh, I don't know how much I'll attend, but yeah. So that intense, then within that we have exams also. So like that we do, and rest of the year we all do classes ourselves, like, you know, each of us will give, and once in a week we do it, we will continue the momentum, and then he comes and like that.
So you do the classes for the same candle that was covered or?
Yeah. So we can go more detail because he does very fast, right? Like, you know, like that, so we can more detail and so we can refresh more and all those things. Any questions or comments related to this? It's okay. Hare Krishna.